Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer for the Hodge to Hodge podcast, Messenger podcast. Again, it is a podcast designed to bring you closer to the Creator. And one of the things that we attempt to do is to help explain to you the magnificent that you have that you are not aware of, once you come to the knowledge of the power that you actually have inside of you, it will be growing. We tend to that God is a part of each and every one of us. There is none that can escape, get away from God's goodness. If we understand who we are, it will bring us closer to whose we are. And once we get a grip on it, I guarantee you, you will not be ever again. Jesus said, we have the power and the authority to do much greater things than demonstrated to us. But for whatever reason, the writers and the people have allowed us to think that we are not kinship with Jesus. We are not in direct connect with the Father. So they allow us, or they will not allow us, to believe that the true power that we have as individuals, if I compare my power to the power that Jesus spoke about, I can almost guarantee you there will be no difference. The only difference will be that Jesus realized his connection to the Father, but we still struggle with it. We as a people are so comfortable praising Jesus. And I'm not knocking praising Jesus, but we are so comfortable praising Jesus that we don't understand the same praise that we give to Jesus. We should praise ourselves, because God, who was in us, the same manner in which he was in Jesus, calls for that. How are we doing tonight, Brother Messenger?
I'm blessed, my brother. I'm blessed.
Okay. Everything good on your end, brother?
Everything is always good, brother. A little technical difficulties. Just don't want to act right without you, but you're here, and let's go forward.
Okay. On last night, our podcast, again, we began to delve into, we began to delve into the concept of we have to let go. We had to let go in order to hold on to God. And I know that may sound like an oxymoron, let go to hold on. Well, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and the messenger himself, and I'm going to go ahead and let the messenger take the mic. Talk to the people, brother.
When you say let go, what you're really referring to is letting go of some of the mythological beliefs, the stories and stuff that we choose to hold on to, and I'll use the word gospel, because that's what we hold on to them as if they were the words of God, even though the Bible is telling you who the writers are. And what they're telling you is their feelings on it. And I'm not saying that they're wrong, but that's how they felt at the time. And because they felt that way at the time, that does not make it gospel. That does not make it God's word. God's word is inside each and every one of us. And as we stated on numerous messages, we missed the mark because we're so busy holding on to something that is factually incorrect when it comes to God. And it's factually incorrect when you compare it to what the Bible has instructed us. And we call ourselves Christians because we are Christ-like, and we choose not to listen to the Christ. So it's, as you said, oxymoron, just whatever you want to call it, but it's just crazy that we can call ourselves Christians, Christ-like, but won't listen to what it is that Christ told us. Christ said that him and the Father are one, and using the terminology of the parent, even though we've got to understand, because the word also tells us that God is not a man. It is a spirit. So he's just using that terminology for understanding. But once again, that's another thing that we take literally, and we think that God is the Father. God is the Spirit. God is the Creator. God is everything. And yes, he can be the Father. He can be the Mother. But God is a spirit. And that spirit dwells in each and every one of us. Because without that spirit, we have no being. So if without that spirit, we have no being, and that spirit is what it is that keeps us alive, who are we? Even though the Bible tells us that this body is going back to the dirt from which it came. But your spirit, your soul lives on. And the spirit is what? Is the spirit of God. So when we say that we are part of God, even though the word tells us that God is the vine and we are the branches of the vine, we are all part of one. It's all one. And as you begin to understand God and its workings, and it's really, really deep, and I'm just really giving this to you at its simplest form, and I'm quite sure God will reveal it to us in an even deeper form, but I think it's even deeper that we couldn't even begin to fathom, because, especially because of this mythological approach to God through religion, that it's going to be hard for our minds to truly understand. Just who, what we are, how we came to be, how we exist, what our purpose is. It is simple. But we've got to be able to let go. We've got to be able to let go some of these beliefs and stuff that we have. If you're going to tell me that God is good and God is love and God is everything, you've got to understand that he cannot make a mistake. You've got to understand that we cannot be greater than the whole. We are part of the whole, so we cannot be greater. And since we cannot be greater, we cannot disrupt the plan, the flow. Go to the ocean and you take some water out of that ocean, what do you have?
A cup of water.
A cup of ocean water. because it's from the ocean. It's ocean water. So because you've taken it out of the ocean per se, does not stop it from being ocean water. But because it is out of there, it doesn't have the effect of the ocean water as a whole. If you understand what I'm saying.
I understand,
it
brother.
Doesn't have the effect. Okay. All right. So since it doesn't have that effect of the whole, it doesn't stop it from being that. And this is what we have to understand as far as with us. It's still ocean water and we're still God. We don't have the authority and the power that we should have because, one, we've been not separated, but we've been disconnected from our end because we don't believe. And it's the same as the ocean water. Taking it out of the ocean does not stop it from being ocean water. And taking us away from what our true nature is doesn't stop us from being that. So what we've got to do is we've got to get back to who we really are. And in order for us to get back to who we really are, we have to, as the Bible says, lay aside all of the weights that beset us. And believing all the stories, the mythological stories and writings and stuff, let's put those aside. Not to forget them, but to put them aside to realize that it is something more. And it is something easy. So I say to my brothers and sisters that are listening, this isn't no voodoo. This isn't no witchcraft. This is just getting in touch with God, that same God that you go to church on Sunday for, that same God that you go to Mass on Saturday for, that same God. It's only one God. If you look at all the religions, they've got all different kind of ways, but they all speak of love. And we've got all of these people that are of all these different denominations, and the world is in such a mess. So that leads me to believe that even though we're claiming it, we're not living it. And we're not living it because we're trying to live something that just isn't so.
When you speak of letting go, again, we and this is probably
we're having a little bit of disconnect with you, my brother.
Huh?
We're having a little bit of disconnect that's coming in and out.
Go ahead and speak. Let me get situated.
And when as the brother was expounding out letting go, this is so important of letting go of those beliefs. Start from the beginning. The beginning was, in the beginning, there was God. And besides God, there was nothing. And there was nothing but God. And so because there was nothing but God, then he created. He spoke all of this into existence. So what could he have used? Himself. Why? Because he was God. And there was nothing to use but him. And with him being so magnificent and so powerful and so awesome, this is how he created everything. And when I say everything, I mean the animals, all the animals, all the humans. It's all part of life. It's all part of God. And as I stated yesterday in yesterday's message, you can replace the word God, depending on how you feel about it, with the word life. God and life are the same. You can't have life without God, and you can't have God without life. But because we look at things in such a way that we think that there is no way that God could be a part of this or that, because we determine it to be so bad, but it just isn't possible. If something was that bad in the eyesight of God, trust me, it would not be. But God cherishes that as well as he cherishes just what you call good. God's ways is not like our ways. We're wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. We set up this structure of beliefs, and we choose to think that it is right or wrong. But we have to understand that the next person set up their own beliefs, and they choose what is right or wrong. And do you think that God is somewhere deciding which one of our beliefs are right?
No, I don't, brother.
Because in the eyesight of God, when God gave us free will, whatever you chose was okay. Because in the final analysis, no matter what you do, if you go and kill 655 million people, you still have no place to go but back to God. But because of our thinking, we believe that there's got to be some kind of repercussion. God is just not going to let it be. God gave us free will. He gave us free will because he knew that who we were. So you got to have the free will so that you can be able to go out and create. This is our purpose here, to create. And that's what God is, the creator.
I believe a lot of people can't lock into that concept, only because, you know, it's just so simple. Just go live your life. But understand, as you live your life, all these rules and regulations that have been put on you that you've been taught to believe you must follow is nonsense. All that is required of you is to live. And don't get too passive when we speak about living your life, because as the messenger always tells you, there's consequences for your life actions.
And that's correct. And when I say live your life, when you get in tune with God, you can live your life. And the consequences won't be as bad. The choices you'll have, many choices, that's all part of the free will. You'll have many choices to determine which one suits you and which one doesn't. You won't look at it as bad. If you went down the road to the left, and the road to the left caused you not to have your car, and you didn't like that, then that means all you do is you've got to turn from that road, and when you get your car again, you know not to go to the left on that. It's not bad. It was just an experience, and that's what we're here to help God experience, just how magnificent he is. And he experiences that through us.
Amen, my brother. Amen.
And we've got to understand it's just that simple. If it takes me going to church on Sunday morning to get right with God, so does that mean that Monday through Saturday I'm not right with him?
talk, my brother.
So if we learn how to get in touch with God Monday morning, and Monday afternoon, and Tuesday morning, and Tuesday afternoon, just because he's already with us, so I don't need to go anywhere to get in tune with him. All I need to do is find me, just as Jesus said, go to your secret closet and have a talk with God. Don't be like the scribes and stuff, got to get on your soapbox with these prayers and all of this. Don't be like that. You go to God in secret, and he blesses you in the open. Because when you go to him in secret, you're going to him in secret with a pure heart. And this is what we've got to get to. We've got to get to that pure heart of loving. Everybody ain't easy to love, but if we start to look at that same person that isn't as easy to love, and look at that person as ourselves. Because truth be told, we ain't the easiest people in the world to get along ourselves, I'm saying. We're not the easiest people in the world to get along with either. So we can't, the Bible, throughout the Bible, it tells you to judge ye not one another. And the reason that we're not to judge one another, because honestly, I just don't know how to say it any plainer than what Jesus said, that we are all one. And it's hard for us to understand that we are all one because we see different shapes and sizes, colors, languages. We see all of these different things, and we think that we're different. We're different, but we are the same. We are all made up of the same essence of God, each and every one of us, as well as an animal. How many times have we looked into the eyes of a dog and saw just pure love in them?
Amen.
And this is what we've got to understand. Just because we get so fixated on this outside body, we're so fixated on that that we tend to miss the mark. God is a spirit. So what do? You worship him in spirit. And when I say worship, what I mean by that is you honor him and who you are. Because you are truly magnificent. But we've got to walk in that magnificence. And not in that in that boastfulness, but in the magnificence and the humility that who you are. You are part of the Creator.
Why do you think we are so afraid to walk in that light?
Because of our incorrect understanding of what it's about. And what I mean by that is some people like to drink, and they're afraid that if they get too close to the source, it's going to take their pleasure away from them. So I'd rather not get too close. I'll go with the religion thing because it allows me to do certain things under the auspices that eventually I'm going to be forgiven. And we've got the wrong misconception. And we're afraid that if we get too close to the source, that we're going to be walking around with nothing but Bibles in our hand, and we're going to become such a dull person. But I ask you, was Jesus really dull? Everywhere he went, wasn't crowds, multitudes coming around him, wanting to be with him? Didn't have, as far as you know, how many people was it that just wanted to sit at the foot of the Buddha and hear what he had to say? Were these people dull? But because we're afraid that we will become, because of the way they've explained this religion thing to us, excuse me, we think that that's what we become. But we become so much more. He said life and more abundantly. And you can live a godly life and still go play basketball. You can still play baseball. You can still go dancing. You can still do these things. But we've got to let go, once again, of the stereotype, of this belief that God is somewhere mad at us for the things that we do that bring us joy. Why would he be mad? If you are happy,
go ahead, my brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you are happy, and when you are happy, what you're going to do is share that joy. That's a form of love. But because we've been brainwashed, or as Brother Malcolm said, we've been hoodwinked, we don't see it in that form. We think it's wrong because they told us it was wrong. Even though the things that they told us was wrong, if you search the scriptures, you'll see where Jesus did those things at. And then all of the disciples used to get mad and complain, well, why is he with the drunkard? Why is he with this person or that person? He did not condemn them. He came to tell them about the goodness of God. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I've come that you may walk this straight line that these people are telling you. He didn't even tell us that. But this is what we believe. And we're so quick, we're quick to believe what it is that the preacher, the priest, or any of these other people are telling us instead of what Jesus said from his own mouth.
We hail Jesus as a special. But even though we hail him in all that magnificent and all that glory, we still actually, and I love the way you said that, we call ourselves Christians, which means we follow the example of Christ, but we're not even close to that. Not even close to that. And again, and I don't say that I'm judging. I'm saying that as I am comparing. Jesus again, we kind of dismiss that. And if you read throughout the book, we find that the first miracle was what? Turn water. That was the miracle that's recorded. So I say to you, if that's his first miracle, how can you even begin wine? Is not of God. But we are Christians now. And if as a Christian, we see drinking wine, he's probably going to be the talk of the church. Oh, look at that brother over there drinking wine. Well, Jesus made wine. How can that possibly be bad that I consume it? Then we go a little further and it says, well, if you consume too much of it, well, again, all I'm simply saying is if we are following the examples of Christ, if Christ himself did it, then under what circumstances can it be bad? They were at a reception to a wedding. And anybody got to know that if I'm at a reception to a wedding, we're having a good time there. Nobody is concerned. I'm consuming because I'm at a party. In fact, he ran out of wine. And his mother said to him, what are we going to do? The party's still jumping, but we have no more wine. Jesus said, keep the party going, yo. Keep the party going. I'm bringing a little humor to it, but is that not what he said?
And that's fine, yes. And that's another thing too, bro. We've got to understand humor. You don't think God enjoys humor? You think these people that have the gift to make you laugh, you don't think that that's a gift from God? We have to understand that God is everything. He is humor. Some of the stuff that these people think of, if you really look at it, you got to have a special gift from God to be able to correlate and make and turn that into something as humorous as we do.
Hey, Brother Messenger, I'd like to acknowledge Nurse Carmen just joined us. How you doing, Nurse Carmen?
Hello, guys.
How's everything tonight?
Great. Can't complain.
Okay. Hey, and at this interlude, again, part of our new show, we halfway through, as my uncles would say, we have an A selection for you. So we're going to stand by. Have a little a little a selection for you to enjoy.
Happy.
Amen. Hello?
Hello.
Praise is what I do. And that's what we all should be doing, giving him praise. And you got to know that through music, if you really stop and think about it, a lot of times when you go to church, you get more of a jubilant feeling from the music than you actually do the preaching.
Amen.
Because there is something, it's the vibration, the music is the energy. And this is what God is, energy. But we can't let go of that stereotype of God being this great guy up in the sky watching over us. And because we can't shake that, we can't fully grasp how magnificent and awesome the Spirit of God truly is. My brother, if you ever get a chance, I want you to see if you can find that song, I Can Feel the Presence of the Lord.
All right, I'll have it for the show Thursday night. Is my audio coming in, brother?
Yes, it's coming in, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll have it for us on Thursday night. Again, okay. So, we take a little interlude and have an A selection. I remember, and again, as I listen to gospel music now, I still very much enjoy it. It's just so funny that song there used to almost bring me to tears. But when I sing it now, I don't get tears. I get joy because when I say praise is what I do, when I acknowledge, my praise is just acknowledging that you are in me, God, and I am living for you on this earth. I'm living through you on this earth. So that's what my praise is.
And remember before we spoke about how we've got to be alert to the signs of God dealing with us and God talking to us, okay? And before, when you hear that, you used to cry. But you didn't even realize at the time that was your spirit speaking, that song speaking to your spirit. And now that it's speaking to your spirit and you acknowledge it, you're able to see it from a different perspective and better understand it now. But that song was,
again,
that's why you cried.
It's amazing. It is definitely amazing. Again, letting go of some things that we've been taught, or I've been taught, that just don't make a whole lot of sense. And instead of leaning on what someone has taught me, I've decided to understand that the Creator is in me. He lives through me. And if I really need guidance, and don't get me wrong, it's always a beautiful thing when two or three get together. It just increases the power. But I don't need you to get together for me to understand that God lives through me. And all things are possible if I understand that I'm doing it through God, or God is doing it through me. There's nothing. Is there anything too hard for God? Of course there isn't.
So because there's nothing too hard for God, you know what that means?
All
that there is nothing nothing too hard for us. That's right.
Because
of who we are. We automatically say it's too hard or we can't do it. And once we do that, we put the doubt in, and that's what slows it up from happening. But when we trust and know who we are, we may not be able to see how it's going to work out, but because of who we are, we know it's going to work out. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to work out, but I do know it's going to work out. And when we walk in that faith, there is nothing that we can't do. I can do all things through Christ, through God, through life that strengthens me.
Amen.
So, and we repeat these things daily to one another. We say it. We write it up on our Facebook page. We say, but we don't understand what we're really saying. We don't understand the power that it really has. Why? Because we still believe I got to go there on Sunday, give my 10%, because all the stuff that I could do, if I don't give my 10%, I'm not going to be able to do it. Because I don't give my 10%, he's going to take everything away from me. These are the beliefs that we have to start letting go. And please, I'm not saying that you shouldn't give, because we should be giving. We should give abundantly, but give it abundantly with a pure heart, knowing that it could have been me. So next time you see somebody that's in despair, that we would call in despair, why not give? Because just by the grace of God, it's not you. We've got to start looking at one another as ourselves and stop looking on the outside and look on the inside. Look on the inside. Get in touch with try the spirit by the spirit. And I guarantee you, when you start doing that, you'll look at people differently. You'll treat people differently. But we've got to start doing that. We've got to stop walking around here trying to be so holy, and let's start being a little bit more spiritual, which God is.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And things will change for us. And it'll change. And see, now, I just don't want to get, even though it is possible, I don't want people to think that as soon as they say hi to me in the morning, the next thing you know, they're going to have this big house on the hill. It's not all about the earthly things. It's not all about these type of possessions. It's about living a pure, fear-free, enjoyable life. That's what it's about. Think about all of the people that the things that we aspire so much to get, like all of this money, houses and land. Think about these people that have it. And what did they do last week? A couple of them killed themselves. And I bring that up just to let us know that as much as we'd like to have it, it's not all about that. And I guarantee you, if you go to somebody right now that has a lot of money and you ask them what is it that they would like to have more, yeah, now that they got the money, they could say it, but what they want is health. They want for their offsprings to have a good life. And we have to understand, if we start there, then all other things will be added. And that's not my words. If you look it up, it says so. It lets you know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the spirit of God. And all other things will be added. You got something going on in the background. Are you there, my brother?
I'm still here, my brother.
All right, man.
Nurse Carmen, you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right.
So that's what I just want to make us begin to realize, and I know sometimes I'm really passionate about this. Only because of the fact that the way is so easy. But because of, and once again, understand, I'm not blaming mother, father, grandmother, because that's all that they knew. But there are a lot of things mm-hmm. that they thought they knew that they told us we don't do anymore because we found out that that just isn't so.
Right. That's right.
So you can't blame them because...
And if we can find out that isn't so, we could lay that same concept to some other things that, again, because our grandparents, and again, I'm talking maybe four or five generations deep, we were introduced to, and I don't really want to turn this into a Black history moment, but if you stop and you just really, really just think about letting go, how can you hold on to something that somebody who hated your guts gave you? Somebody who didn't even think that you were a human being gave you. One would think, just based on that principle alone, that it should be easy for, in this case here, a certain group of people to just let go of this organized religion, because you have to understand it was never for you. It was actually never for anybody, but it's definitely, you should understand first that it wasn't for you. People who don't even consider you human beings, if I don't care about you as a person while you walk the earth, what in God's name would ever have you think that I'm going to care about you for eternally? So again, as a certain group of people walking around this earth, letting go of that nonsense, it should be relatively easy for you.
Amen.
But it's not,
yeah,
because it is indoctrinated into us. People took great pride to make sure you never even thought of Jesus as being Black. Now, if I'm born over in the Middle East, he don't have to be black, but he's got some tone to his skin by the nature of where he was, and they went through great pride to make sure you never connected to that. Go ahead, my brother.
I'm sorry. Let's take a look at it just from this aspect, all right? Just using our own intellect. If we, as I stated many times before, if we look up the birth of Hare Krishna, okay, he was here 200-300 years before Jesus Christ. Okay? If we take just his birth and compare it to Jesus, doesn't something inside us say who? So which one was correct? Was Hare Krishna the one that was born of a virgin, or was it Jesus that was born of a virgin? Jesus came after Hare Krishna. Let's take a look at Moses. Look at Moses' birth, and then let's look at the Buddha's birth. Buddha was here before Moses. But Moses' situation is the same as the Buddha's. Jesus is the same as Hare Krishna. Now, which one of these stories isn't correct? Or are they both identical? In different religions, they got the same story, but different people and different times. Isn't that enough just to make us want to examine some stuff instead of just constantly going what somebody's told you, because it has been put in the 66 books, even though if you do the research on the 66 books and find out how they were put together? But we are so blinded and so dumbfounded in belief and faith that we'll believe anything?
Amen, brother.
Amen. Some of us will believe anything. Some of us.
Well, again, they went through a lot of trouble to make sure that most of us believe that.
Right, right.
Yes, they did. And one of the things, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why it stuck as well is because of who we are. Things were working, like for instance, when the people of old got together and they prayed and they hoped on something and it came to be? What they don't understand, it was just the God in them, the spirits touching and agreeing and speaking things into existence. It wasn't anything to do with the religion. It was the design of God from the foundation of the world that was at work, and the credit was just going to religion. And this is why it's hung around, and this is why the folks of old will say to you, well, it worked for my mother, and it worked for my father. Yes, it's going to work. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst. But it's got nothing to do with Buddhism. It's got nothing to do with Muhammad. It's got nothing to do with Jesus, per se. All great teachers, all great messengers. It's the one foundation that they all can, of all the different religions, they can't agree upon nothing. But the one common denominator in all of them is love. Because God is love. And this is what we've got to understand. And we've got to understand this love that God is, it does not change. And just from our earthly perspective, you know, when we love somebody, it ain't nothing that we won't do for them.
Nothing at all, my brother.
But we'll turn around and say God loves us. But if you piss him off, he's going to send you to a fiery pit. When we wouldn't even do something to that nature to somebody we love, but we say God will. We've got to accept God for who he is, and who he is everything. He is what we call good as well as what we call bad.
That's right. Amen.
There cannot be what we call bad if there is not God. Why? Because everything is God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The fullness thereof means whatever is going on inside of this earth is God.
Yep.
And that's easy for us to realize, but we can't accept it because we won't let go of these mythological stories and these beliefs of this certain kind of God that sits around and jealous and mad and all of this other stuff. He getting mad. I'm God, but I'm mad.
And you know what? It just seems so easy that people just believe that. And
yes,
to believe that, again, that he, just to believe that something's not going God's way, so he wipes it all out and starts over a couple of times. Come on, folks. You have to have greater knowledge than that. They can tell you whatever nonsense they want you to know, but you need to understand that is not the work of a loving God. That's not the work of a loving God.
Well, they say to you real quick that God does not make a mistake. Don't they say that all the time?
Mm-hmm.
God is too wise. He doesn't make a mistake. He knows just what he's doing. They tell you that out of their mouths all the time, that God cannot make a mistake. But we choose to believe that he made a mistake with us, and this is why there's so much sin. Because when he created all of this, he didn't create it for this confusion.
Amen.
So that means he made a mistake. And God did not make a mistake. Everything is going according to schedule, as according to the plan. Everything. Everything. We just got to see everything as working for the good instead of working for the bad. It's easy for us to believe that we are of the devil and hard for us to believe that we're of God.
And if that's not conditioning of a race meaning the human race of people, to buy into this nonsense, then I don't know what is.
Amen.
And things happen, again, and things happen in our lifetimes and in our everyday lives, again, as God experiences life through each of us. And, again, some of it, you know, I'm still not understanding. As far as why would God want to be enslaved? I mean, I still search for that answer. And, you know, why would God have a group of people become slaves?
He wouldn't.
Amen. Mm-mm. How can he want you to be enslaved if he told you to love your brother and your neighbor as yourself? Are you going to put yourself in slavery?
No.
And neither would God. You allow, because you have free will, you allow yourself to be these certain things. And to some of it, we to some degree, part of the slavery, you really didn't have much of a choice. But it's still those God-fearing people that put you there. And if you notice, even today, a lot of the politicians that make these laws that harm the everyday person, they claim to be righteous Catholics, righteous Christians, righteous Muslims, righteous Mormons. They all claim to be righteous. So once again, they walk around, quote unquote, with the zeal, but they don't. They're not being real. When you get to know God, there is no way you can do anybody any harm because you see that person as yourself. You know that person to be you. And you know that you and that person are one because we are all connected to the same vine. If you're not connected to that vine, you are nothing. And even in the nothingness, there is God. You can't get around it. That's what I'm saying. You can't lose at this game. You can't lose.
Yeah. But what it is you can't lose, but you really don't fully understand winning.
I can go with that. You don't right. And that's what it is. We don't understand that we're winning. We're too busy complaining that we're losing when we're winning.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, crew. We're down to 1 minute. And we're about to sign off on this show here tonight. But as always, I always enjoy the message from the messenger. It is my belief that we are blessed to hear a prophetic word from the messenger, Rondaya, out of New Jersey. Not only is he my heavenly brother, but he's my earthly brother. And we study a lot together. And I ask everyone, again, just open up a little bit and hear the word. And if it don't make sense, then you can shut it down. But I guarantee the word.